on becoming a proactive board. Boards only see what they are presented with and can easily become passive recipients of agendas created by powerful CEOs and senior executives. Corporate failures raise questions as to what boards knew and what could they have done differently. Board members can play a transformational role in a company by asking questions that create a space for deep reflection and strategic change. Not just responding to what the executives present and then stepping in to deal with a crisis when things become difficult. In this podcast, we discuss questions for board members to ask that can enable change at the level of individual board members and the board as a whole. I'm delighted to talk with Andrew White from Said Business School in Oxford, England. Andrew has recently published an article in the Harvard Business Review together with Tatsim Izani and Eric Wilkinson, both of whom are active board members in various organizations. This podcast is based on the research for the Harvard Business Review article. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. I'm Dr. Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Andrew, thank you so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Sabine, it's wonderful to be with you here today and wonderful to be discussing such an important topic, not just to boards, not just to companies, but to the world that those companies serve.
Let's jump straight in, Andrew. Well, it's a really interesting topic, as you say. There's so much regulation and governance, and it takes up more and more space on the agenda of boards. And yet, there are high-profile corporate failures. No country or industry appears to be spared. How is it possible?
Sabine, I think it's a great question, and I think it gets to the heart of where I see the problem with boards, or let's say the challenges. It's really difficult to be a board member, and by that I mean a non-executive board member. You are increasingly expected to take responsibility for the company, for the decisions. You'll look to when things go wrong, but you almost have one eye blind and one arm tied behind your back. You've got a limited capacity to really understand what's going on because you're in there on a day-to-day basis. Because of that, I think it's very easy to become passive. And that's the real essence of my recent article in Harvard Business Review, that boards become passive to what they're told to do by regulators. They become passive to the agenda put forward by managers. And as a result of that, they're always in a reactive state, and they're not proactively taking control of their agendas. And I think that's where some difficulties arise. And it's where I think we need to see a shift from that reactive to that proactive sense of an agenda.
But let's face it. I mean, there are so many demands. And I hear almost from every chair I speak with, well, it's well meant, all these governance and these regulations, but it is absolutely stifling and overwhelming. And for a non-executive director who has maybe a portfolio of 2, 3, or even 4 boards, how can they do this to step out of this, being bombarded with all of this, and really become proactive?
So what I see boards going through, and you described it well, is not dissimilar to what I see companies going through. There is an ever-increasing busyness. In some ways, COVID has exacerbated this. There's an ever-increasing transactional state that we're in, where we're focusing on the transaction. And I think particularly going from Zoom meeting to Zoom meeting, or from team meeting to team meetings. We have to stop, and we have to take an intentional pause. And I don't think this is just about boards. It's also about companies when they think about transformation. So intentionally stopping. And to me, it gets to the first question in my paper, which is, if you designed the agenda, what would be on it? And to really answer that question, you have to stop. You have to think about the things that are going on in the company you're responsible for governing. And what are the priorities? What is an absolute must? Because if you don't, you, in a sense, you're a slave to the most recent development or most recent initiative. So you're simply responding to that rather than taking a bigger picture around what you really need to be discussing, you know, to play the role that you have properly.
How have you seen non-executive directors who take control do this? Do they proactively pick up the phone to the company secretary and question the agenda?
So I think it can happen in a number of different ways. But I think first and foremost, I've seen it in my capacity as a consultant going in, and I'll talk a bit about that. But I've also seen it where a chair or a chief exec has almost had to say, stop. All we're doing is great, but something's missing. And that can come at a board meeting. It can come through a conversation between the chair and the CEO. It clearly has to involve the company secretary, but there needs to be a repivoting or a reorganizing of that agenda. For my own work, I'm often brought in as a result of that conversation. And I simply say, here are 10 questions, which ones are most important? And we use an online voting tool that makes that conversation a bit easier to have. We pull out, two or three questions from my list, and then we dive into them. And that in itself is almost begins the process of a reset.
What are the top three questions? And let's go through them that are most often chosen.
I think the first one is, if you designed the agenda, what would be on it? So why that? And I think it's this sense that boards have become passive and not reactive. There's always things that the board members are thinking about, but either through busyness or through a lack of opportunity, or let's be honest, it can be a bit uncomfortable to raise something which is challenging to the management. It's hard to have that conversation. So if you create this pause, if you create this opportunity to answer that question, what I've seen happen is a whole set of agenda items can be flushed out from board members. The company secretary can pick up on that. And that can be part of repivoting the agenda going forward for the next year. So there's a very important outcome that I see here. Pose that question, ask people what items they would like to discuss. Capture that, and then the management can come back with papers and with other initiatives that address those questions from board members. And it acts as a repivoting. So that would be, I would say, one. The second one is, how is the external world changing in ways that are not reflected in your board conversation? I think it's very easy, perhaps less so more recently, but it has been very easy to be very internally focused. And necessarily so in some areas, but that's often at the expense of what's going on in the external world. And what's going on in the external world is increasingly important, and it is increasingly driving change within companies. So I've heard examples of where a whole series of board speakers have been thought about. So people coming in who are not from the industry, who are speaking to the big macro changes that are happening in the markets that the company is serving. And the CEO and chair have done that in order to broaden the perspective of board members when it comes to their decision makers. And so it's essentially an education program.
I can confirm this. It's also something I have seen increasingly taking place. Yeah.
So it's like a structured education program. How do we upskill ourselves? How do we get the knowledge to make the decisions we're going to have to make around things like climate change, to understand how technology is developing in markets that we may not be in at the moment, but will come and affect us. And so there's a sense that you can't get that just by reading The Economist, or as good as that publication is, in my view. You have to proactively go out and find speakers and perhaps do visits to really understand yourself. So there's something about the external world.
I wholeheartedly agree, Andrew. And as I said, I've seen this in practice as well. But the struggle I see also is that there are now a lot of these topics. So we have transformation, we have digital, we have climate, we have ESG issues, we have cyber. How can boards really prioritize?
So I think this is where it has to be linked to the transformational challenges that a board is facing and the company is facing. And this is when I say it's almost a structured education program. This isn't almost a pick and mix of interesting topics. It's actually finding the things that speak to the current and future transformation that the company is going to go through. So it's really about upskilling in areas like climate, in areas like digital, in other types of technology that the firm is exposed to today or might be exposed to tomorrow. So it's not a scattergun approach. It's a much more focused and much more linked to the the transformational challenges of today and tomorrow.
No, that's really insightful. Now give us maybe the third question that is most frequently picked.
And this is perhaps the most difficult, the most sensitive, but also I would say one of the most important. So it's, what is the executive not telling you that you feel you need to know? And I think this is where it's very easy to get into a passive place. The executive can almost start to run an agenda. They're producing the papers, they're running the business, they have the initiative. But as a board member, if you don't get proactive, there may be things starting to happen in the company that you're ultimately held responsible for, but you don't see. And I think this is where we can start to unpick some of the recent major fraud cases or problems with audits or where companies have gone under, where board members haven't been proactive. So if I give you a concrete example of this, this is going into the charity sector, but I think it serves as a good example. If you're involved in work in certain countries, as a board member, if you're working there, you expect fraud to come up. If fraud is not coming up, something is wrong with your systems. So it takes fraud from being an exceptional item that everybody is afraid of happening. It doesn't normalize it in terms of it being right or wrong. It's still wrong, but it recognizes that this will happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost human nature. And we can look at certain indicators to know that in certain countries, that level of fraud is higher than in others. So what do we need to look for? What do we need to be aware of? And often this is more, let's say, more seasoned board members who have seen various things happen. So what problems can happen with audits? What problems can happen when companies get into difficulties? How do the board members get ahead of the executive and not just respond to the papers that are put in front of them? As I say, you know, this can get into very difficult, sensitive areas, and often it can be where opportunities are missed, but it can also be when companies get into difficulties that board members have been too reactive and haven't seen some of these major things happening. I think in the paper I talk about, you know, things that happened in Theranos, in Boeing, in Carillion, in Wirecard, these companies that really got into major problems where their board members were looked to by the courts or by other investigators as being, as I say, being too reactive and not proactive enough.
I mean, over and over, and we have devoted quite some podcasts on the topic, but I'm still hearing from non-executive directors, at times it is difficult to speak up. It is difficult to ask difficult questions, particularly if you have a powerful, well-known chair, or if you are in a prestigious board, if you know that other board members are well-networked, well-connected with the city. Non-executive directors find it difficult to ask these questions. Again, what have you seen working here? What does it take? What can other board members do to allow, to make it possible that these questions are asked?
So I think there are certain practices that I've seen which I think can alleviate some of that discomfort. I wouldn't go as far as saying they remove it. Firstly, I think it's about normalizing certain things, Sabine. So for example, is it normal for the board to meet without the executive, to have half an hour at the beginning of a board meeting to just talk about what's on their mind, what they're concerned about? And that shouldn't be an exception, because that then is seen as the board has to discuss a problem. It's just a normal practice that the board have of time by themselves with an unstructured time so they can have a conversation and they can talk about the types of things that they're concerned about. And I think that can build a sense of them coming together, because one of the other things we see is almost the tyranny of meetings and the tyranny of formality. So practice one. Practice two, which I've seen some board members do, is that it takes more time, but they spend time in the business unaccompanied by other board members or the CEO or the chair. They get to know the business. They spend time with people talking to them. And it's not to go on a formal fact-finding around problems, but it's just to get to know, what are people struggling with? Where are the pressures? What's the culture? Things that you don't see in a formally orchestrated board meeting, you see when you take part in management meetings. And so it's not trying to undermine the CEO. It's not going in and making decisions, but it's an education. Again, it's about education. To me, all of this speaks to the fact there's almost a tyranny of the formality. There's a tyranny of meetings, which are necessary, but they're not sufficient. And being a board member requires formal education around what's going on in the world and a more formal education around what's going on in the company.
I know that a lot of company secretaries are listening to our podcast. What is your view? What can they do to allow that these questions that you highlight are asked? So, should they proactively go out themselves, encourage non-executive directors to contribute to the agenda?
The first thing is boards need a steady set of activities. So it's not changing lots of things very, very quickly. But what I've put in the paper is a series of questions that perhaps they could identify the top three or four, and they could have 15-minute or half an hour discussion around them. It's starting to have a less formal time to discuss things which people, let's just say, could slip through the net. So the questions provide a framework for that. And the questions provide an opportunity to do that. Even tools like Mentimeter can be used. This is the scoring tool that you can use. Ask board members which questions do they feel are most important. You can have anonymous feedback. So get board members to put ideas up. Start to see where the common patterns and concerns are. I think company secretaries, because of the role they're in, can also become reactive to the agenda, reactive to the papers that come through. And they're really guardians of the company in many ways and its governance process. So they can also play a role here. And I think it's about carving out small amounts of time. It can also be through one-to-ones and through that informality, that knowledge can come around what things need to be on the agenda.
So the pandemic forced all of us to live more in the virtual world. So more and more board meetings had to be conducted or still have to be conducted via Zoom. These informalities are more difficult to manage in the virtual world. Maybe one last tip, one good tip, what you have seen. How can you manage this time creation, these informalities in the time when so much is going virtual?
I think it's a very, very good point, Sabine. And I think the difficulty may be that even as the pandemic eases, and let's hope it continues to do so, given where we are in time as we speak today, the ease of working like this may stick. And it is much easier. You know, if you and I were recording this face to face, we'd probably both had to travel. It would have taken up at least half a day. It really doesn't take much time before we get down to productive meeting. But we don't have the informal, as you say. And I think perhaps it's about trying harder to create that informal time. And the onus is really on people like the chair, the company secretary, to do that, to ensure that time when people are able to talk more freely is put into these digital structures in which we're now working.
We have to come to an end, sadly. What are the three things our listeners should take away from this podcast?
So I think the first thing is this shift from reactive to proactive. As a board member, just look through the agendas that you have been involved in and almost look what's missing. And that gets to the first question I talk about. I think going back to what I said before, how is the world changing? Are you educated enough? Do you understand enough to oversee and to govern the decisions that you're being asked to make? What's missing? Can that be fulfilled as an individual? Do you need to do something collectively? And then I think finally, what don't you know about the company that you feel you need to know about? And again, it's about educating yourself. I would say those are the three things that have been all in the spirit of the movement from the reactive to the proactive.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series. Andrew, thank you.
Sabine, it's been wonderful. Thank you for inviting me. And I'd like to wish you all the very best with this and with future episodes that you record. Thank you.
Thanks so much. How can we help you and your board? We at Better Boards are always delighted to hear from you. You can best reach us at info@better-boards.com. Thank you for listening.